to everyone. L'chalam azinim. We conclude this year our study of Tehillim and Tefillah with the last of the Shir HaShalyom, Tehillim Tzadi Beis, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, a song with a melody, a Mizmor and a Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. You'll note it's the only Shir that we've had whose time of recitation is actually designated, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. The others, the Gemara Darshan, is why we have it on a particular day, but here it says L'Yom HaShabbos, and it's a beautiful parak. The Malbim explains that it speaks of Hashgachas Hashem, God's providence, that everything to us looks like nature, teva, to allow for our bechira, to allow us free choice. Agam Shashem Hiskir Hashgachaso Ne Ein Ha'amon L'maniyeh Makom L'chiro. God hid His providence from the masses, so there should be a place for tefillah. Nonetheless, the Ein Ha'maskil, the intelligent eye, is able to pierce that veil, and especially Yan Shiyom HaShabbos Ve'Dus Al Ha'angaha Al Ha'anhaga Since Shabbos is testimony to the fact that God providentially guides the world, and the world itself is not given over just to nature and to happenstance, that's why the shir, this capital, is designated to Yom HaShabbos. Now it comes out that Shabbos is really a day for such reflections. And we'll see every theme that is contained in this parak is something that we're supposed to think about on Shabbos. Shabbos is a lot of things to a lot of people. And it, you know, the Jewish world, it takes on many different types of observances, from the sublime to the mundane to the heretical. So you have every type of observance of Shabbos. You know, for some, Shabbos is a day of rest, a day of sleep, another day of family and eating, and a day of Torah and Tefillah. Now, in a sense, they could be all of them, but the essence of Shabbos is the reflection on God as Creator and what it means in our world. Medrash says that Adam HaRishon composed this capital. Adam HaRishon means the earliest we have. And when? Almost immediately. So we know that Adam sinned and was banished from Gan Eden on the sixth day of creation. He was created towards the end of the day, in a very short time, in a waste of time. He sinned, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he was banished from Gan Eden later on Erev Shabbos, on that sixth day of creation. Sunset, darkness fell, Shabbos came, and Adam HaRishon thought that he had destroyed the world. When the sun rose the next day, Yom HaShabbos, he saw the world wasn't destroyed. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, Tov L'Hodos Hashem. It's good to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another Medrash says, in a similar vein, that Shabbos later defended Adam, kept him alive. And there the Medrash says that when Cain, after Cain, his son, sinned, killed his brother, Paga Adam HaRishon B'Kayin. Adam met his son Kayin and said to him, Ma nase b'dincha? What happened with your judgment? Amar lei asisi tshuva v'niftarti. I repented, and so I was let off. I was sentenced to Golus, to wanderings in exile, but that was the extent of his punishment. Hischil Adam HaRishon mitapech alponov. Adam started to clap himself on the face, and he said, Kachu gadol kochoch shel tshuva, lo ha'isi yodea. That is the great power of repentance. Miyad omad Adam HaRishon v'omad mizmor. Immediately Adam stood and he said, Tov l'hodos Hashem. Keep my hodos also means to confess, like vidui. It's mizmor shir l'yom HaShabbos. So it's really b'schus Shabbos that Adam HaRishon was saved. All right? Another Medrash, similarly, says that Adam was to be punished right when Shabbos started. Boyom HaShabbos v'nasa sanego l'Adam lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos itself came and tried to defend Adam before God, saying, Ribon HaOlam, v'sheishes yimei hamasa lo nerag ish b'olam. The 6 days of creation, nobody was killed. Ubiatomasfil. You're going to start executing people on Shabbos. Zohi kedushasi, zohi birchasi. That's my sanctity. That's my blessing. V'nitzal odom harisha midina shal gehenom v'schus haShabbos. And odom was so saved v'schus haShabbos, the merit of Shabbos.
What does it mean? I mean, take the last one first. V'schus haShabbos and the merit of Shabbos. We're all saved in the merit of Shabbos. Saved from turmoil. Saved from the rat race, say from our pursuit of the material. Without Shabbos, we'd be lost. How do we know that? Look at the rest of the world. Or look at Jews without Shabbos. They're lost because they have no break, really. And I can tell you just from a perspective of lawyers, Saturday's become a work day. You have to work Saturday, you have to work, and that's it. Without Shabbos, a person really is lost in the world. Physically for sure, psychologically for sure, but of course spiritually. Because Shabbos is a day set aside to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Previously the Medrash said about Tshuva, alright? How is Shabbos related from Tshuva? Related to Tshuva? Mizmer Shel Yom HaShabbos. What's HaShabbos? Just flip around the letters. Shabbos is Tshuva. Because Tshuva really means to return. Shabbos is a day for return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However much we stray or wander during the week, Shabbos becomes that anchor that pulls us back into port. It makes sure we never stray too far. And that's what comes with regularity, Shabbos. I mean, it's strange. For example, when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, you only experience of Shabbos, like you're lost. Yeah, the Shabbos Shabbos, and it's a higher form of Shabbos, but it's not the same experience. Yeah, right, it's not the same experience. But that's what Shabbos does with regularity, with relentless regularity, every 7 days. I would tell a story. A friend of mine is a lawyer, and he's Shabbos Shabbos, and he's practicing, maybe he's practicing that 20 years, and a big deal is coming up, and his partner called the meeting Shabbos morning. And he said, yeah, I can't come Shabbos morning, Shabbos. So he said, I thought maybe just once you'd be able to come. All right? Different mentality. But Shabbos is every seventh day. Every seventh day, without fail, is inevitable. And that's Tshuva. That's B'schus HaShabbos. And that, of course, gives the brightness to the world that Adam HaRishon saw when he first awoke that first Shabbos morning. The verse says very beautifully that Shabbos accompanies us through our wanderings in the ages, throughout history. It's an island of serenity for the Jewish people, for peace of mind. And of course, like the Gemara says, all a harbinger of Yom Shekula Shabbos, the day, the future world. We'll get back to a world without evil, a world where every day seems like Shabbos, because God's presence is so obvious, so blatant to all of us. Well, what is our first experience of Shabbos? Tov lehodos Hashem. I mentioned that Shabbos, lehodos also means to confess, and that's the Medrash of Adam. He saw Cain confess his sin and was forgiven. So Adam saw the great value of tshuva on Shabbos. Shabbos is that point of return. But primarily in our context, it means to thank God. Tov lehodos Hashem ulezamer l'shimcha elyon, and to sing praises to Elyon, God who is most high. What's the Hakara Chatov of Shabbos? For the day itself. We thank God for everything. He brought us to Shabbos, right? But for the day itself, there's thanks. Very interesting, the minig that we have, that an Oval, sitting Shiva, comes to Shul Friday night, but he only enters the Shul after the Chadodi, after that finishes. Why? The Shabbos really begins with this, Mizmer Shel Yom HaShabbos. But the real reason is because the first things he should say is Tov Lehodos Hashem. Those should be his first words in public. It's like a tzedek din, acceptance of the din. It's good to give thanks to God. So it's a feeling of some consolation, even in the depths of Shiva, that someone comes to Shul and his first words are Tov Lehodos Hashem. It's still good to give thanks to God, notwithstanding the loss that is felt, painful loss. Nonetheless, the thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues. That's Tzidik HaDin. And especially Radak says that Shabbos is a day on which we are freed from iskei ha'olam, from the matters of the world. Ki adam panui bo me iskei ha'olam. All the concerns of the world are liberated from us on Shabbos. We're free from them. V'nishmaso zako mitirdas haguf, and our souls are free from the burdens of the physical. And we become involved in pursuit of wisdom and pursuit of service of God. That's really the day in which we're involved in Chochmah and Avodas Hashem. And that's the purpose of the day. So Shabbos really is a 24-hour tribute to God. At least it should be. It's not always, but it should be. That tribute to God involves Onik Shabbos, involves Tefillah, and Talmud Torah, and Suda, and a lot of things, but all in the context of a tribute to God. The truth is, people like to take walks on Shabbos. Is that a good thing? It is a good thing. You like it. Why is it a good thing? It's not just the walk. It's the ability to appreciate nature. That's why such a minute developed. Teal on Shabbos. Why is it teal oneg? It's because you get to look around. Who has time to take walks during the week? Even if people walk, they're doing exercise. But just to walk and look at the sky, look at the trees, look at possibly in the middle of Manhattan, but the suburbs especially, to commune with nature, it's also part of Shabbos. God is the creator. A lot of things, especially our kids, a lot of things the kids do are uninvolved in Shabbos. Sometimes they're antithetical to Shabbos. And if a person's involved in any activity in which he's not at all mindful of Tov L'Hodes Hashem, L'Zama L'Shim Chol Yom, that Shabbos is this tribute to God, then such a thing should be uprooted to Shabbos. In fact, that's the great Tov. It's Tov L'Hodes Hashem because he gave us Shabbos. The Malbim says, Tov L'Hodes, we thank God for the Hashgacha. But L'Zamer, to sing, we sing for the Teva, that all the world should see and benefit. And that's really the experience also of getting out into the world on Shabbos, getting out into nature, if one enjoys that, to see what God created and reflect on it. Basically, we understand that Shabbos is a day on which we commemorate God as the Creator by abstaining from any technologically advanced work on our part, meaning any type of activity that reflects human ingenuity. From those we abstain on Shabbos. Those are the Lamites Malachos, the 39 forbidden labors. It's not random, of course. Those are the labors that were involved in constructing the Mishkan, but it means every type of human creativity, that we feel that we're the masters of our world, that we're the controllers of nature, from those things we desist on Shabbos. Because that would be counter to the experience of Shabbos, to sit back and reflect on He was the master of the universe, the creator of everything. So, lehagid baboker chazdecho, demunascho balelos, to relate your kindness by the morning and your faithfulness at night. Rashi says, lehagid baboker chazdecho, to relate your kindness by day in the morning, ve'es ha-ge'ula, in the time of the ge'ula, the time of redemption, ve'munascho balelos, and your faithfulness at night. So night is the opposite of the day. That's uba'ot tzaras ha-golos, le'hamin b'cho she'tishmor ha-fachascho kol zeno v'tov. During the time of the tzaras of the exile, we still have faith that you will keep your promise, and that itself is good. That's Noah. So the words are chosen, of course, very, very precisely. What's the boker? The boker is when everything is clear and bright and obvious, and we could point our finger to it. There the Chasdei Hashem is manifest. When everything is clear, we could point to the Chasdei Hashem. Something wonderful happens in our lives. We say Shachayanu, we say Atov HaMeitiv. So there we point to God's grace and His kindness. But Balaila, the night is when things are dark, murky, gloomy, unclear. There we have to rely on our emunah. The Malbim says the Boker is when we have the Chidush HaShkacha, the renewal of divine presence.
because day is the time of activity. Whereas night, that's a muna, that's the teva, when really man is usually dormant. And notice as well, it says lahagid baboker chazdecha b'munascha balelos. To be perfectly parallel, it should have said b'munascha balayla, not lalelos, balelos, nights. Lahagid baboker, in the dawn, the morning, we relate your chazed b'munascha, not in the night, but in the nights. What's the difference between boker and lelos? So boker is a singular good. All right, lelos means the different types of evils, different types of tzaras that we have. It reminded me when I thought of this of Tolstoy at the beginning of, I don't know, I never read the book. One of the books that happy families are all alike. Unhappy families are unhappy in different ways. Okay, it's a very clever phrase. But lahagid baboker chazdecha, in the morning, when everything is clear, good is almost singular, meaning it's a singular experience. If a person is good, it means he has an amalgam of a variety of goods. You wouldn't say a person is good when he's sick or poor or unhappy. No, good is good. It means it includes everything. But the night is not like that. A person can have a sorrow, and that tzara is completely different from the tzara of someone else. One person is a tzara of parnasa, one of marriage, one of children, one of community, one of the enemy pursuing them. Tzaras can be different. Chesed seems to be more similar in its approach. I'll tell you some story. I started preparing on Friday, and I remembered in 1976 I bought a sefer at Israel of the Maharal. I was a young Talmud, and I couldn't afford the whole set. So I bought a sefer, Kitmei Rambam in Prague, and I remember the sefer, he quoted this pasuk as well. All right, why I remember, I don't know. But I had to search my house to find the sefer, which I really haven't looked at, probably in more than 25 years. Sure enough, the Maharal comments on this, and he quotes the Gemara. So I have a whole set of Maharals, I didn't need this, these excerpts anymore. But you notice, this phrase, the Hayyid Babakar Chazdecha B'Munascha Balelos, is reflected in our davening. Because in the morning we say, Emes V'Yatziv V'Nochem V'Kayim, etc. But at night we say, Emes V'Emunah Kol Zos V'Kayim. So just like the Pasuk, Emunah is related to night, and Chesed, Yatziv V'Kayim, V'Neman V'Yashra V'Oy V'Chogim V'Nechmot, all that related to Chesed, that's Boker. So I'll quote the Pasuk, the Gemara Baruch HaSaf Yud Bezim at Aleph. Omar Rabba Barchinin Asaba Mishmei Rav Kol Shlo Omar Emes VeYatziv Shacharis VeEmes VeEmuna Arvis Lo Yotzei DeChavasa. Anyone who doesn't say Emes VeYatziv in the morning, right after Kriyat Shema, and Emes VeEmuna at night, right after Kriyat Shema, he's not Yotzei. Shenema LeHagid BaBoker Chazdecha VeEmunascha Balilos. Based on this pasuk, so Maral explains. The Maral explains that Hashem runs the world with two midos, chesed and tov. God always runs the world with chesed and tov. But there's a difference between times when we're worthy of the chesed and tov and times when we're not worthy of the chesed and tov. When we're worthy of the chesed and tov, that's boker. Lahaged baboker chazdecha. The Yatziv, the Kayam, the Neman, the Yashor, then we see God's promises being fulfilled in an open and blatant way. But there are times that we're not worthy of God's chesed, but nonetheless, Eino Meshaka Bimunaso, Ve'eino Ozevis Chasadov, says the Maral. God does not betray his faithfulness, nor does he abandon his chesed, but rather, even though we don't deserve the chesed, that's at night. But nonetheless, because God is the Neman, Emes Vemuno, he continues to bestow his chesed upon us. And that we see, and we've discussed a number of times over the last couple of years, learning Sefer Tehillim, that David HaMelech never questioned God's chesed, even when he was in the most desperate state, running from Shaul, being betrayed by his children, losing some of his children. He never never renounced the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Baal Chesed. Maybe at a certain time he didn't deserve the Chesed, but he never renounced the idea of Chesed, because even when we have a Tzara, put in the context, a Tzara may exist, but the many Chassadim also that are included, all right? Starting with the first that was still alive, okay? Frankly, sometimes not to be alive is also a Chesed. So our understanding, our evaluation, what's Chesed, what's not Chesed, so that we leave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we always reinforce, we underscore, the notion of God as the Baal Chesed, even at night. There, his chesed is a function of his emunah, meaning his faithfulness to us. But it's baboker that we're able to actually see it. Right, I was happy to have a memory left for something. It's just to find the sefer was something, to find it in the sefer was something else, but thank God. Lahaged baboker chazdecha of emunas chaba leilos. Alright, so how do we then express this joy? Ale asar v'ale novel ale higayon v'chinor, with full sound. Ale asar is an instrument of 10 strings. All right, ale novel, a different type of stringed instrument. Ale higayon v'chinor, ale higayon v'chinor, with the harp as well. The Yalkut says here that kol edus nemra b'Yisrael be'asor. Every type of edus, every testimony, meaning every declaration, every public testimony about God always involves 10. Like a minyan or the Devarim Shebekedusha that we have. It's stringed because that becomes our song. When we have 10, so Rav Hirsch says 10 is a reflection of perfection, it's the ultimate, it's the everything is included, alright? That's our testimony about Hashem as well. And all that gives rise, Alei Asar, Alei Novel, to Alei Higoyom Chinor, that is the singing of the harp. But Higoyom means something else. Yerotan Refi, Vehegyon Libi Lefanecho, Hashem Tzvivigal Libi, he says to the end of every Shemana Esrei. What Hegyon Libi? Meditations of the heart. Alehi Goyon B'chinor. The harp, the 10-string instrument, the navel, all give rise as well to Higayon, refers says, to thought, to meditation. Just the thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is not that common. And that is the purpose of Shabbos. Quiet time for thought, all right? One of the persistent complaints I've got over the years from people in the neighborhood, as you all know, is when Shabbos afternoon is disturbed. Especially by kids playing ball, but they just assert it's too noisy in the streets. Why? Because you need time for Higayon. Soft. Stringed instruments are always softer instruments. They lend themselves to contemplation, to meditation. We live in a very clamorous world. It's a very noisy world. Something tells me, I didn't live a century ago, but it was much quieter then. Much quieter. The truth is, late 19th century, New York was very noisy also, and filthy for that matter. But nonetheless, it had to have been quieter. And once you got away from the cities, and the clomping of the horses and the wagons, etc., it was just quiet. Anyone who goes up into the mountains, goes to any secluded area in the wilderness, the silence is overwhelming. And for many people, it's very enjoyable. But that's Higayon B'chinor. It gives us a chance to think. And people don't really have a chance to think that much anymore. It's not popular. It's not desirable. It's not really something, I'm afraid to say, that we train our youth for. We don't. We don't train them to think. I remember George Will quote in a column once, William Jennings Bryan, some may have voted for him for all I know, when he ran for president a few times. So he was a very noted orator, and one of his critics was once told that Bryan gave 16 speeches once in one day, to which the critic responded, 16 speeches? When did he have time to think? All right, it's a problem. We don't give ourselves time to think anymore, just to sit in quiet. I mean, Talmud Torah, of course, is designed for that, and Tefillah is designed for that. For that matter, feel these breaks in the day, these enforced breaks in the day, just to let us think. And so much discussion the last year of kids texting on Shabbos. So, look, the technology is of course also on Shabbos, but I think what's more important, because they can't communicate anymore like normal people do, which is also a problem. But when you're texting, you're not thinking. It's almost just a shortened form of relating messages of little substance. That's the biggest problem. Give people time to think. Remove people from the world of technology. I mean, one of the great joys that we have is our ability to turn off our technology for 25 hours. I had a Rav from Israel as a guest Friday night, so my phone rings almost every Friday night in Shabbos. It's almost always telemarketers, and these days it's almost always a political either commercial or request for money. Mitt Romney calls me twice a week. I appreciate it, but he's heading the wrong direction. But I said to him, your phone would never ring on Shabbos. Right? Who's calling a Rav in Israel on Shabbos? Nobody. But our phone rings. That's, we don't answer it. Computer's off. Cell phone's off. Everything is off. The fact that it's off makes the phone so interesting when it does ring, because no one I know is calling me. The fact that it's off takes us out of the world, out of a different world. And I tell you, there's so many people who want to observe Shabbos, and that becomes the toughest aspect at the beginning of Shmir Shabbos, and then within a few short weeks, the most enjoyable aspect of Shmir Shabbos. People who thought they couldn't live without their BlackBerry, without their iPhone, they suddenly see how life is better. One day a week, maybe 2 days a week, but at least one day a week, you don't really need it. What's going on out there is not as important as what's going on right here in front of me, my family, my tzilos, my shul, my community. What we have, everything is right here. There's nothing out there that really is that critical to the way we govern our lives. And Shabbos provides that. And that's why it's Alehi Gayom B'chinor, all the instruments live up to that and diminish the cacophonous sounds of the clamor of the rest of the week. That's Alehi Asor, Alehi Novel, Alehi Gayom B'chinor, all which gives rise to Kisimachtani Hashem B'folacho, that God, you have given me to rejoice in your work, B'maaseh Yodecho Aranein, in the works of your hand I will sing. The Malbim says that Pe'ula is a process. Kisimachtani Hashem B'folacho, that is a process, but Maaseh Yodecho is the finished work. So Maaseh Yodecho is the Bria. It's the creation. It's God's finished work. What's the pe'ula? What's unfinished? The work of Hashgacha, meaning the work of human beings. This idea, by the way, we relate every Friday night in Kiddush. Asher Baro Elokim La'asos. So the pasuk that just as simply ended, Asher Baro Elokim. Right? Period. He rested from all his work that he did. No, to do what? The Chazal say, to make us partners. To make us partners. That's the world of man. The world of man is an unfinished world, but it's a world that each Shabbos propels us towards a natural conclusion. The Yalkut says, Kisimachtani Hashem b'fa'alecho. Very interesting medrash. It's a Talmud of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, who went into business, left the yeshiva, went into business, v'hirviach v'hashir, made a great profit, became very wealthy. V'hoyu ha-talmidim ro'am es ha-revach, she-hirviach, v'hoyu me-tzir ha-smod. They saw a guy leave the Beis Medrash, make a fortune, and it bothered them. All right? What you think? You're in the world of Torah. You're in the world of money. How do you compare the worlds? That's life. It bothers them. Right? There was a list came out of the wealthiest rabbis in Israel, multi-millionaires. We'll discuss another time, but how that's possible is a different issue. But you see, there's such a type as well. It bothered them. So what did the Shimon Yochai do? He took them out to a valley. What was Talmidim? All those who were bothered by the wealth of this Talmud who went to work, took him to a valley, and he said, let the valley fill with gold coins. And it did. Omer l'talmidav, kol echad mikem yitolkol mashu mevakesh. All of you can take whatever you want from the valley, as many gold coins as you can. Ela hayu yodim, you should know. Shekol mishu notel mimenu matan scharo shel asu lavahu notel. Whoever takes from that, he's taking from his schar le'olam haba. Alright? When the Talmidim heard that, he's chil omrim ki si machtani Hashem b'fo'alecha b'ma'asir edecha aranein. We don't need the work of others. We don't need that. We'll go back to Beis Medrash and learn. And they left their gold coins in the valley. I guess there's some Israeli rabbis to pick up. So, what's the pshat? What's the pshat here? Because we have to work. I mean, we never had a concept even the Rashi work. So, we never have somebody works. So the answer is, wealth comes at a price. We don't like to think about it, but it comes at a price. A very steep price. Time, values, family, Talmud Torah, it comes at a steep price. The person wants to pay that price, so you put it into your schar, or asad lacha. So people need to live. How much? That becomes a personal issue. But know that whatever we are accruing now, whatever efforts we are dedicating to accruing great sums of money now, it's cutting into our schar, realize it. The Shabbos then is the day on which we are removed from all of that. That's not part of our world. We're not in the business of money making on Shabbos. Shabbos is the day to contemplate God's creation, to acknowledge His creative abilities after a week of our mastery of nature. That brings us joy, and it brings us to the proclamation, the declaration, Ma gadlu masecha Hashem, how great are your deeds, God. Me'od amku machshev asecha, how profound are your thoughts, especially in these two aspects, both of which we commemorate on Shabbos, the Bria and the Hashracha. And no, by the way, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know already, but in the Aseret HaDibros, you find two explanations for Shabbos. One is Kishesh Yamim Asa Hashem as a Shabbos Aretz, because God made the heavens and the earth on this sixth day. And in the Aseret HaDibros, in the Devarim, Parshas Vaschanon, they mention creation. There it says, "V'zachate ki eved ha'yisav eretz Mitzrayim." Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. But the Bria, yeah, Hashgacha. Both are expressions of God's mastery, and both are acknowledged. Me'od amku machshev asecha. God's thoughts are very, very deep. And here the Radak says, rather, that you have in God's mastery of the world deep existential questions about the world, about life itself. Shelo niglu lachachamim tame ha'olam b'sheilos kashos sheish b'inyanei ha'olam lomo hayakach v'hayakach. Many questions. Why is the world this way, not that way? Both the physical world, the spiritual world. You know, all these questions, really, some of them have no answers. Some of the gezeiros Hashem, but these are questions I think about on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day for ultimate issues. Think about life. Think about values. And that's what we know in our world. It's the primary day on which we get to speak to our children about what their goals are in life, what Jewish life is about. I mean, that's the theory. Reality might not be as clear. But that's the theory, at least. That's the plan. Take Shabbos. Take them out of their normal environment and just allow them to enjoy. So granted, they enjoy, you know, their friends also, but they should enjoy the Shabbos table too. Not to speak Lashon Hara about the community, the rabbis, etc., but to speak about Torah, speak about values, speak about ideas, because that's where the children, that's where the children learn. Each child, each family, in their own particular way. I remember we had guests with Shabbos not long ago, and not part of our community. And I spoke to him afterwards, and he said it was surprised. There was no Torah discussed. So I said, I can make a difference. Exactly the opposite. We only spoke Torah. but we spoke about ideas, we spoke values. I think what he expected was to open the Chumash and say a drasha on the Sedra. I do the job this morning, I do it at my table. I said, no, all we do is talk Torah, but the Torah is more natural, it's more spontaneous. If issues that come up, halachos and halgim, questions about the different aspects of Jewish life, it's not formulaic. If it becomes formulaic and loses its spontaneity, then it could run into problems. The children feel it's a performance, all right? And I'm no different than any of you. I had kids who went to yeshiva too, and their idea of relating with the right Torah was to bring the notebook, right? It was a Pesach, was like, bring the notebook, read the paragraph, I would say, close it, tell me what you just read. I don't know what you're talking about. I just read it. Here, I don't know what it says, but this is what the Rebbe said, write down. That's not Talmud Torah. That's really no value in that reading. They don't understand what they're saying. So for the time, I have bar mitzvah boys in my house before the bar mitzvah, and I'll ask them, what are you speaking about? So they'll say, I don't know, I don't know, they speak with me. I said, I don't know, you have to read it to me, just tell me what it's about. I don't know. It's just there, they'll read it and that's it. That's not internalizing ideas, that's not a real discussion of ideas. God's world is so complicated, so intricate. The greatest scientists haven't figured it out. You know, I think it was Einstein who said, the more we know, the more we don't know. All right, that's the way the universe is. In the metaphysical world, it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. Not to mention, my great-grandfather, who notes, Magodlu Masecha Hashem, of course, the Yalkut, Lahagid Gedulosa Shakadosh Baruch Hu, to show God's greatness, Tova that God stamped all of humanity with the stamp of Adam Harishon, and yet no two people are alike. It's not just in fingerprint everyone is different, it's in personality everyone is different. Every human being is different. Every child is different for that matter. Even though everyone has the same basic form, we're all different. Not to mention nature as well. Panoply, such a variety in nature that we see, that we're blessed with. That's Magadlu Masecha Hashem Me'od Omku Machshev Asecha. And the Malbim says here again, he speaks mainly about the Teva and the Hashgacha. So many people think that the world operates and it's all Teva. No, it's Me'od Omku Machshev Asecha. It's because God's thoughts, so to speak, are so profound, the way he runs his world is really beyond us. Even now, with all our sophistication, it's still beyond the ken of full human understanding. So how can such genius inhere in the universe and still be denied by man? That's the next possible. Hishbar lo yeda. A bar is a person who's bereft of reason. All right. Bar is also word for behema. Means he has no intellect. He's not going to know. The fool will not know this. What's the difference between a bar and a ksil? So bar is a person who has a limited intellect. He won't understand sublime ideas. A ksil is not like that. For a person says a ksil is a conceited fool. There's a difference between a conceited fool and your average fool, or your average person of limited intellect. Meaning the fool, the ksil, really could know. What stops him from knowing? Arrogance. Arrogance. He doesn't ask. He asks a question, the question is so good, no answer satisfies, or he determines his own conclusions, and because he's concluded them, can't be any other way. There's nothing else to discuss. He has made his decisions. Shabbos presupposes, by the way, neither that a person is not a bar or a ksil. The bar is just a purely physical being, a sensual being. That's a bar. A ksil is someone who's arrogant, who claims the world is his. So neither person really can enjoy Shabbos. Neither person can observe Shabbos, because the bar is just physical. So for him, Shabbos is the challenge and the whatever else is being served. And the ksil, he cannot tolerate being limited. And what he wants to do makes no sense. Lo yeda, ksil lo yavin ezos. Yalkut says, what then do you do with a ksil or a bar? Teach them Torah. Don't be content with writing them off. You can't write them off. The bar can be reached, right? How do you reach the bar? Sometimes through the shalom. Sometimes through the kugel. You reach the bar, and you tell him, there's a reason why we're doing this. Not because some, we want these foods. Everything's a purpose. Shalom certainly has a purpose. We have Hatzilah on Shabbos. That's a purpose. But everything we do on Shabbos, the very fact that we make festive meals on Shabbos, right? Like someone once said, we have Thanksgiving twice a week, Thanksgiving dinner, Friday and Shabbos morning. Twice a week. Why? Even a bar can understand that. Langton, it's something unique about it. The ksil means a little humility. Without humility, it's very hard to learn. Even the ksil can be open to Shabbos. Yeah, not everyone. People make their own decisions. What primarily can't they understand? A person has doubts about God, about the world, so the issue that always vexes people is this way. The Baruch Rishon Kmo Esa, when the wicked sprout like grass, Vayotzitzu will call it of him, and the evildoers blossom, Kitzli Hishamdam Adei Ad, they should be destroyed forever. This is the vexing problem of the non-believer. The success of the Rishon in this world. If Ruach Rishon Kmo Esav, it just seemed to spring up overnight, right? I remember, mentioned a few times, in the early 90s, a political scientist, who was in the State Department one time, Francis Fukuyama, who wrote a book called The End of History. He said, America's dominant, and there are no other dangers, no other malevolent people on the horizon that America can't deal with. So history's over, that's it. Boy, that was an interesting svara. Okay, didn't take long for that svara to be completely undermined. Why? Because Rishon sprout like Esav, like grass. They just come out, the weed. They're there. You think you've tended your garden, and then the weeds grow, and then everything is undone. There's a reason also why the Rishon exists. Okay? Esav has another facet. It's short-lived. Grass wears away, withers in the winter, and it's gone. The rishus is short-lived. Rashi says here, "Befurach Rishon Kmo Esav, einom yodim shafurach hasam eina elu hashmidam adei ad shemisham l'sonav al pnei l'avidam." They don't realize it's temporary, nor does the bar, the ksil, realize that there's a purpose to it. So they should suffer eternal destruction. Li shamdam adei ad. And the Malba makes a similar point here as well, that the Rosh's Hatzlacha really plays into his downfall. And the truth is, we have a fairly good record, even in our lifetime, of seeing Rishon get their comeuppance. We do see that. And even though they can create tremendous destruction in their time, and sad to say, they're almost always replaced by either their antagonists or by their successors. Nonetheless, at the end of the day, they're not really having that enjoyable lives. The Rasha, they end up like very few die in their sleep. All right, Stalin died in his sleep. Well, he wasn't poisoned, but he actually didn't live a long life. Most of them wind up with the fate of Hitler and Mussolini and all the despots across the world. It's lihi shamdam adei ad. Rav Hirsch says, because neither a bar nor a ksil think beyond the superficial. So if you don't think beyond the superficial, you see the success. You see the victories. You see the conquest. But you don't see the short-term or the long-term harm. Malbim Kedarko distinguishes between the Rosh and the Poale Oven. The Rosh is the one who seeks sensual pleasure. The Poale Oven are really the dictators, powerful people who abuse their authority. All right? So that is different. Actually, the first, it's not the Malbim who says that. But we have a response to all that. People see Rishon even prospering now, right? The Russia ends, most of them end like Bin Laden. That's how they end. Nonetheless, we answer one thing. V'atamorim l'olam Hashem. That you, God, are above it all. You reign on high forever. You are still Mashkiach Teroeh. Rashi says you're always supreme. And not only that, You're also just. So we can't explain, just beyond us, we can't have every particular detail of why Russia succeeds here and fails there, but nonetheless, the ultimate justice we always see. What's the ultimate justice? Ki hine oivecha Hashem. Ki hine oivecha yovedu. God, your enemies, God, they are all destroyed. Yispardu kol poale oven. They're all scattered as well. God, who are God's enemies?
Kumo Hashem, the Afutsu Evecha, the Anusu Misanecha Mipanecha. Who are God's enemies? Almost always God's enemies are the enemies of the Jewish people. They are one and the same.
Those are God's enemies in the world. At the end, that the Evech Hashem, Evecha Yovedu, Yispardu Kopale Oven. They are scattered. They can't cause much harm. In fact, my great grandfather here close to Gemara in Sanhedrin of Ein Beis Amin Aleph. When the Rishon are scattered about, it's good for them, it's good for the world. Scattered, they can't do as much damage to themselves in their union, nor to the rest of the world. It's kind of the opposite. When Tzaddikim are able to get together, then it's good for them and good for the world as well. That is Kinevech Hashem. Those are the parley of them. And of course, Shabbos, as Hertz says, reinforces the truth that Rishon will disappear. Because every Shabbos we reflect on the order that exists in nature. There's order not only in the physical world, but order in the spiritual world as well. But, and all this leads us to a certain internal feeling. But Torem Kirein Karni Balosi Veshemen Ranon. That God, you lifted up my horn. You lifted me up, rather, like the horn of the Re'em. Re'em, maybe a unicorn, a similar animal. Balosi b'shemen ranon. You saturated me with fresh oil. Thus, my pride will be lifted, all right, with the oil of anointing, with shemen hamishcha from Malchus. Or Rav Hirsch says, we'll outlive them through constantly reinventing ourselves, reconsecrating ourselves, or that we'll remain fresh even though we're old. The Jewish people are the eternally old people, but we are the eternally vigorous people. We're constantly refreshed with Shemen Ranan. We recreate ourselves. Of course, it's unprecedented. The only nation in history like that. There's the Jewish people of Eretz Yisrael and of Arabia and North Africa and Europe and America. Much of it's the same, but much of it's different as well. We find the newness in Jewish life in every generation. And yet, everything we do finds its opposition as well. My eye looks b'shuroi at those who look at us. B'shuroi are enemies, okay? Enemies. Bakamim alay mirayim, when evil people come upon me, tishmana oznoi, I'll hear about it. B'shuroi, we had this once before, by the way, when we studied the Davar Hashem Ori the issue. B'shuroi are the people who are always looking at us. Who are those people? We live amongst them. Shuroi is a foe that's always looking at us, trying to find fault. Alright? I will look at them, I will stop them. But nonetheless, people don't like to be watched. You ever notice? You ever get the feeling that someone's watching, waiting to pounce? It's like the Balkore in Shul, where a guy yells at a correction. Oh yeah, I said that event the other day. You know, I call this the congregant's nightmare. A guy yelled for the correction, and turned out the guy was wrong because he lost the place. All right, Shuroi, the people always looking, always ready to pounce, always ready to attack, to find fault. Those are people who looked at us. In fact, it was in Tehillim Chav Zion, in where David Hashem Ori V'Yishi, where David Amelch prayed to Hashem that Unacheni Baruch Mishor Leman Shorai. Keep me on the straight path because of all those who are looking at me. Somebody always looking, they attack us from behind. Vakavamalai Mirayim, those attack us frontally. And the blessing is, Rashi says, Kishmana Oznoi, those people we hear. Shorai Rav Her said, those who lie in wait for us, ambush us, as opposed to those who attack us directly. Now we come to the end, beautiful psukim. Tzadik ha-tamo yisrach, ke'erez ba'avonon yizkeh. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree. They will grow tall like the cedar of Lebanon. What's the difference between the tzadik and the rasha? You see. Yisrach rishayim kimo esev. The rasha flourishes, sprouts like grass, short-lived. The tzaddik, he doesn't grow as quickly. Right? No one is born a tzaddik, as far as I know. You have to grow into being a tzaddik. It's katamor yifrach. It's like a date palm. It's like the Erez Lebanon, the cedar of Lebanon. The Malbim says, it's two contexts. The palm tree produces children, fruit. The cedar not, but the cedar is eternal. The tzaddik has both. The tzaddik has posterity, and the tzaddik really has eternity in this world as well. Oh, the Nuvim is Seva, something else the tzaddik has. He will yet bear fruit, even in his old age. His Sheinim v'rananim yihiyu, he'll always remain fresh and vibrant and vigorous and moist, always. All right, I'm sorry, I'll give the puzzle. Shesulim Yaveis Hashem, they're planted in the house of God. The Chatzeros Elokeinu Yafrichu, in the courtyards of our God, they will flourish. How will they flourish? Od Yenuvim Esevo, the Shenim V'Ananim Yiyu. They will still bear fruit in their old age, still remain fresh, because they're planted. They're planted in the Beis Hashem. The Malbim says, by the way, the Tzadik flourishes in Chatzeros Elokeinu. What's the courtyard of God? This world. And then replanted, Shesulim Yaveis Hashem, replanted in Olam Haba. In fact, that's what Shesulim means. Shesulim doesn't mean to grow. In Hebrew, it's a mashtela. Mashtela is a nursery. We speak of being mashtil, we speak of taking a tree, right? That's what they're doing, like the fellows in the nursery scene. You take a tree, and it's uprooted, you put it in dirt, you plant it somewhere else. That's Shesulim Yaveis Hashem. That's the mashtela. The Yalkut says, we're replanted. The Jewish people are replanted. How are we replanted? Listen to the Yalkut. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kabeitz Yisur Ma'abaruch HaSa'olam. God is going to gather us from the four corners of the world like this gun to be mashtulas, to Beis Hashem, back in Eretz Yisrael. And they all still bear fruit, even when they become of old age. They're fresh and vigorous. And you know, we have now been blessed with Ziknei Rosh Yeshiva. It's hard to imagine. Yeah, Rav Yashar is sick. Rav Yashar is sick. He's 102. Last year, Rosh Yeshiva 101 died. The Rosh Yeshiva Luzerne for 60 years. The Rif became the Rosh Yeshiva in Lucena, in Spain, at the age of 86. And then he appointed Rosh Yeshiva at the age of 86, and he served as Rosh Yeshiva for another 13, 14 years. That's Od Yenuvim Seva. The tzaddik never loses his vigor. And in fact, the Mishnah at the end of Kina makes this point. A beautiful Mishnah. Ziknei Am Haaretz, the elders and the commoners, Kolzman Shemazkinim, Daita Mitarefas Alayim. The older they get, the average person, the older they get, the more disoriented they get, the more dissatisfied with life they get. How much pinochle can you play? How much mahjong can you play? You start to go crazy, and especially the Amoros is one who's tied to the physical. And once you no longer enjoy the physical, the life itself becomes meaningless. Avol ziknei Torah ain't okay, the Mishnah says. The elders of Torah are not like that. Kolzman shemazkinim, the older they get, daita mityasheves aleihem, the minds become more settled. It's a bracha to keep your mind, by the way. But if you have your mind, so what's better than sitting and learning? Old people sitting and learning. I mean, it's a life's vocation. You enjoy it even more when you're older because you're not burdened by time, by the lure of the physical. All that's diminished. You can just pursue chachma. That's the shein of ananim yiyu. And to have new ideas, to share those ideas with children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. No, what's better than that? lehagid ki asher Hashem suri v'avosav. All this leads to our relating on Shabbos ki asher Hashem, that God is upright, suri, my rock. There's no injustice in God. God is the rock of our permanence. There's no injustice. There's no inequity. But all this will be obvious when, only when the Geula comes. Even though it's true now, it's only obvious later. And it's interesting, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph, when it lists all the reasons why we say the variety of the Shirei Shel Yom, we discuss it with each one. The Gemara there just says, Misma Shel Yom HaShavos, LeYom Shekulo Shabbos. The day that's all Shabbos. What's the day that's all Shabbos? That's in the Yemos HaMashiach. That's in the Messianic era. The verse says, that's the Shabbos of perfection, the Shabbos of completeness. And he says very beautifully, just like the very first Shabbos, the first Shabbos marked the completion of the physical creation, Asher Bore Elokim, the Lasos, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos marks the day of man's moral perfection. One Shabbos leads to the next, all of which lead inexorably to the final Shabbos as well. That's this capital, Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbos, Tov L'Hodas Hashem. We sit back on Shabbos and give thanks for all we have, rather than lamenting what we don't have. We give thanks for what we have. We see the great blessings that we have. At the top of those blessings is to be part of a nation, Ashreinu Matov Chokeinu U'manom Zoraleinu, to have such a portion, to have the capacity to relate to the Borei Olam, to be his servants. There's nothing that deserves greater gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than that. I thank you very much. I thank you for coming this year as well. Enjoy.